From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. According to the passage beginning in verse 35, many unnamed heroes of faith chose cruel torture and martyrdom in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. It was their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that enabled Christians of the past to suffer as they did. Their gaze was beyond the temporary pleasures of this world. As Dr. Cairns is emphasizing, it is that same sight of the unchanging Christ that gives believers in this day the power to endure whatever God may see fit to bring into their lives, whether persecution or personal troubles. The Bible makes it clear that the world continues to hate Christ and the people who are identified with Him. As Dr. Cairns will show, the purpose of persecution is to stamp out God's people and to make Christians compromise with the world. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of this second message on the theme, Bearing the Unbearable Through Faith in Christ. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Obadiah chapter 1 and verse 11. Even thou wast as one of them. Brotherly kindness was due from Edom to Israel in the time of need. But instead thereof, the men of Esau made common cause with Israel's foes. Special stress in the sentence before us is laid upon the word thou, as when Caesar cried to Brutus, And thou, Brutus. A bad action may be all the worse because of the person who has committed it. When we sin, who are the chosen favorites of heaven, we sin with an emphasis. Ours is a crying offense because we are so peculiarly indulged. If an angel should lay his hand upon us when we are doing evil, he need not use any other rebuke than the question, What thou? What dost thou here? Much forgiven, much delivered, much instructed, much enriched, much blessed, shall we dare to put forth our hand unto evil? God forbid. A few minutes of confession may be beneficial this morning. Hast thou never been as the wicked? At an evening party certain men laughed at uncleanness, and the joke was not altogether offensive to thine ear. Even thou wast as one of them. When hard things were spoken concerning the ways of God, thou wast bashfully silent. And so, to onlookers, thou wast as one of them. When worldlings were bartering in the market and driving hard bargains, wast thou not as one of them? When they were pursuing vanity with a hunter's foot, wert thou not as greedy for gain as they were? Could any difference be discerned between thee and them? Is there any difference? Here we come to close quarters. Be honest with thine own soul, and make sure that thou art a new creature in Christ Jesus. But when that is sure, walk jealously, lest any should be again able to say, Even thou wast as one of them. Thou wouldst not desire to share their eternal doom. Why then be like them here? Come not thou into their secret, lest thou come into their ruin. Side with the afflicted people of God, and not with the world.
Triumph brings, we have seen victory.
As you listen to today's broadcast, we'd like to express our appreciation to those of you who make Let the Bible Speak a regular part of your day. Over the years since LTBS has been on the air, we've heard from many folk who have been blessed and encouraged in their Christian lives through these programs. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to bring this Christ-centered preaching and God-honoring sacred music into your home, vehicle, or workplace. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, whose messages you hear on the broadcast, LTBS is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, which is produced in Northern Ireland. It may be that you have wondered about the origin and purpose of the Free Presbyterian Church. Stated briefly, the Free Presbyterian Church is a denomination that stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers around the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, please contact Faith Free Presbyterian Church at their toll-free number 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. Or you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Someone from the church will be glad to get in touch with you and to provide you with further details. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, www.fpcna.org. Again, that's www.fpcna.org.
Protestant martyrs went to the stake, they went to the stake for such things as saying that they believed that Bible to be the only rule of faith and practice. That they disavowed the belief that at the mumbo-jumbo of some priest, a little wafer was actually transubstantiated. Its substance was changed from flour and water into the very deity and humanity of Jesus Christ, so that when a priest put that on your tongue, you were literally eating your God. They said, we will not believe that idolatry. And for that, they were burned. There is the difference. That which marks the martyr of Christ was not dying for his political beliefs, though no doubt he may have had them, was not dying for his political actions, though again, many Christians have had political actions for which they paid the supreme price, but the martyrs of Christ died because they were hated for their faith. The world's hatred is still the same today. I was just reading, many of you may have seen this quote actually in the Revivalist. Archbishop Runcie of Canterbury was recently expatiating on fundamentalism. And he was saying that the curse of the world today is fundamentalism. You have the Islamic fundamentalists. And then you have the Jewish fundamentalists who are, according to him, causing all this trouble on the West Bank. And then you have the Christian fundamentalists. And he said that the Christian fundamentalists were guilty of causing the murder and the trouble in Northern Ireland. Now see the spirit of the world here. Christian fundamentalists, according to the leader of the worldwide Anglican Communion, are to be equated with the terrorists of the Middle East who blew that plane out of the air over Lockerbie. They are to be equated with the terrorists on that Mediterranean ship who took the crippled American, shot him, put him to death. They are to be equated with those who traveled over the border into Israel, into a busload of children, and shot them all to death. He says you can equate your Christian fundamentalist with that. And when he looks at the Irish situation with almost 3,000 people dead in the last 20 years, and he sees men who are brought out in front of their wives and children, I think of a Roman Catholic police inspector coming out of morning mass at a Roman Catholic church, getting into his car beside his wife and children, and some brave men come up and they blow his brains out. And then they send their phone calls and they mock the bereaved family and they joke with them about the brains on the pavement. And those are IRA, Roman Catholic gunmen. And yet the Archbishop of Canterbury says the trouble there is that in Ireland you have Christian fundamentalists. You see the hypocrite? In other words, we will overlook murderers, we will overlook people who do the foulest and the filthiest things, but we will hate people who stand for the Bible, who believe in the blood, who will preach atonement and justification through the merits of Christ by faith without works. You see the hatred. Still there today, and it's not going to change. There is the persecution of the faithful. I want you to notice the purpose of the world and the devil in all this persecution. I'm only really going to mark this out for you. Keep it in mind. It is first to stamp out God's people and God's truth, and secondly, it is to induce believers to compromise and to deny the truth of God that they hold. If you want an example of that, you remember how Saul of Tarsus persecuted the Church of Christ. What did he seek to make them do? He sought to cause them to blaspheme. That was his great aim. In other words, to have them compromise and deny the truth of God. And, of course, when he would fail to do that, he'd be willing to have them put to death in order to stamp out the very presence of the truth of God from the earth. Men and women, I want you to know that that purpose is still very much alive and active in the world today. While so many churches are pussyfooting around, and while so many Christians are trying to get to be as like the world as they can, and dropping their defenses, and living as if there were no great spiritual warfare going on, the purpose of the devil is still the same. And I want you to know that there is in America today a tremendous movement to stamp out God's truth. To stamp out, if need be, then God's people. You can see this without me going into all the details and all the examples. You can see it on every hand. Across the universities of America and indeed of Europe, you have the great cry of academic freedom. If a university president and board of trustees decides to stop a body of students from publishing on the premises of the university and the presses of the university some vile and filthy and pornographic output, there's a cry goes up that there's a limit being put on the freedom of expression. But if a professor who's a man of God and a believer in this word would get up in front of his class and blow evolution out of the water, as many of them can very easily do, suddenly he'd be looking for a new job. And that is not a denial of academic freedom or any limitation on the right of personal expression. See, there is a movement to close down on the truth of God. I think that's at the heart of this whole controversy that's been raging for years on prayer in public schools. I, to be quite honest, think that in many cases this has been elevated to almost a fairy tale level. People have nearly got the notion if we could only get prayer back in public schools, America would be in revival. Well, a bunch of atheistic, humanistic mockers of the Word of God leading a class, bowing their heads in a few words to some unknown deity is not going to do anything much for America. But yet at the same time, I have to be honest and say that it is just an expression of the policy of the devil and of the world to exclude prayer from the schools of America. And to exclude the Bible from the schools of America, because ultimately, what the devil hates the very thought of is that possibly there may be a plain and powerful presentation of the Word of God. And that word can't be stopped. We had a school at Ballymoney that was noted throughout Northern Ireland for all the irregularities that had gone on in it. It was in the papers for months. The teaching staff was demoralized. The teaching standards were nothing. It was a laughing stock. One of the young ladies from our church, a music teacher, sat listening to the service one Sunday morning. She came to me afterwards. She said, God has spoken to me this morning, and God has convicted me today that I have been in that school and I have taught the children music and I've taught them this and that and the other thing, but I have never been a good witness for Christ. She got a bundle of my Christ is the Answer booklets, and she went back to teaching.
Oh, she still taught music.
First thing she did was she gave her testimony. She gave them the gospel. And then she opened her classroom at break time. And she opened her classroom at lunchtime. And she opened her classroom in the afternoon after the last period of school. And every time she opened it, 60, 70, 80 young teenagers were cramming into that classroom. And Margaret gave them the gospel. And in a 2-year period, 300 teenagers professed faith in Jesus Christ. I don't say they were all saved. I don't know. I'm not their final judge. But I know that God did a work in that school. I talked to the principal of the school, who was an Episcopalian, an unbeliever. And I know that in that school there were other unbelievers. There were humanists. There were mockers. I know that there were others who were Christians and compromisers. And they were all standing back and they didn't know what on earth was happening. The school principal said to me, he said, all I can tell you is that this school is changed and there is an entirely different atmosphere throughout the school. And I support what Margaret's doing 100% then. That's why the devil wants the Bible out of schools. That's why. And dare I speak heresy, educational heresy, from this pulpit this morning? Well, I'll dare it anyway. I don't mind if I walk around with my head under my arm. It's the easiest way to lose 100 pounds of ugly fat. So I'll make the statement. If God's people could ever again prevail to have the Bible allowed in the classrooms of America, I would pray that God would start sending Christians into the classrooms as teachers in those schools to do what that girl did in Malamoney and start preaching Christ. But the Bible's not allowed in. And that's why. The purpose of the world and the devil are very clear.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.